I saw a church sign that said, I want to be like Paul on the road to demask us. Amen. And I would aspire to that. Last night I called the hotel operator and said I wanted a 7 a.m. wake-up call. I'm in room 400, so instead of putting 700, she put 400, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, I received my wake-up call. I was a little upset. I was prone to be upset. And this morning when I went down to get some coffee, I picked up the general manager's business card, thinking that perhaps I should alert him as to what his employees had done to me. I was fretted. How many of you ever heard that word, fretted? I grew up in Southside, Virginia. My parents would often talk about somebody being fretted or fretting. And what they meant was somebody was bothered because they were treated poorly. What they were talking about is somebody that was disgruntled, upset, irritated, agitated. And this morning I would ask you, I know that's a Virginia word. Most people don't use that word. I found that out. But I brought up with that word. They were talking about people fretting or being fretted. But it's a Bible word. So I want you to look at it in Psalm chapter 37 this morning. Psalm chapter 37. And here we have three admonitions to fret not. To fret not. To Psalm chapter 37 verse 1. Find that in your Bible and stand to your feet if you would please. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 1. Let's read verse 1 out loud together, please. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. The Bible says here, fret not yourself because of evildoers. The wicked and evildoers are referenced 16 times in Psalm chapter 37. There was a lot of wicked people. There was a lot of evildoers going on. But the Bible says here, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Let me ask you, do you resent unsaved people? Let me ask you, do you wish and entertain wishful thoughts for somebody else's downfall that you disagree with? The Bible says, don't fret against evildoers. Look in verse 7. Verse 7, Psalm 37. Read it out loud. Rest in the Lord. Fret not yourself because of those who prosper in the way. Let me ask you a question. This is talking about a man who advances an evil plan. Do you resent unsaved people who are better off financially than you are? What does it say right here? Don't fret yourself because of those who are prospering in the way. Now look in verse 8. Read verse 8 out loud together. Cease from anger. Three times, fret not. In other words, stop planning your retaliation. Stop planning your revenge plan. Stop getting the general manager's card so you can call him and tell him what a lousy employee he's got who's dyslexic or whatever you call that word, you know. But anyhow, let me ask you a question. What are you mad about this morning? I was in a meeting one time where the evangelist, his sermon title was, "What are you mad about?" He was there for 5 weeks in an extended meeting. He preached the same sermon 16 times. We showed up on Wednesday night. He preached on "What are you mad about?" Found out later that he preached on Tuesday night. "What are you mad about?" He preached the same thing 16 times. I want to tell you something. A lot of God's people are really upset. A lot of God's people are fretting. A lot of God's people are getting wake-up calls at 4 o'clock in the morning and they're fretting about this. They're upset about this. They're disgruntled about this. Let me ask you, what are you mad about? What are you mad about? What are you angry about? You know, it's possible to be angry at your spouse, your children, your parents, your preacher, your political leaders. It's hard not to be angry with some of this. You can be angry at your employer, your neighbors, the person who cheated you. You can even be upset with God, thinking God is not running the universe according to your dictates. And now you can get upset about this, but three times the Bible says, fret not. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Fret not because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. I want to help somebody here this morning. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to help somebody here this morning.
Amen.
Let's talk to the Lord. You pray. You pray. Open up your heart. Pray for your own heart, your own family, your own church, your own neighbor. Jesus, we're listening. Your spirit talk and we'll obey. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. If I could have a little more volume up here, that would help me very, very much. Now, the Bible says, fret not. Now, the word fret means to glow. To glow. It means to blaze up. It means to seethe with anger. It means to simmer, to burn, to fume, to be displeased. I ask you, what are you mad about? Who has disappointed you lately? Who has hurt you? Who has betrayed you? Who has abandoned you? Who has wronged you? Are you reliving past injustices? The Bible says, fret not. Now, replaying betrayals and wrongs in your mind will cause you to boil with rage and with anger. But the Bible says, fret not. Now, the word fret means to glow, but it's not a holy glow. This is not a holy glow. It means to burn and to simmer. It's kind of like when you got a pot on the stove. You got the lid halfway off. You don't have it on a hard boil. You just gotta turn down to where it's just kind of slow boil. It's kind of a seething going on. It's stewing. It's steaming. And I want to say it's a natural reaction for human beings to simmer, to roll things over in our mind, to try to sort things out, try to get a handle on this and try to figure things out. How come she put 4 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock in the wake up call? I mean, what is wrong with this? Now, why should we not fret? I'll tell you why you shouldn't fret, because it overwhelms your thinking. It overwhelms your thoughts. It makes it impossible to worship. It makes you incapable of praying. That's why the Bible says, let the words of my mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Fretting does not please God. God forbids fretting. Three times he gave us a commandment to fret not. A fretting brings you no pleasure. It brings you no pleasure, and it makes you difficult to live with. You ever get around people that's all the time stirred up about something? Stirred up about politics? You know, you got the people who are politically naive, and then you got the people who are politically obsessed. I want to tell you something, brother. If you're more addicted to Fox News than the Word of God, you need to repent and quit fretting here this morning. We're all upset about what's going on, but I want to tell you, your fretting is not going to improve the situation. Do what you can. Do your assignment. I'm all about that. But the fact of the matter is, God didn't call us to be continually upset with this slow burn. Now, let me ask you, are you considering your options to retaliate against somebody here this morning? Are you thinking about payback? Do you ever rehearse how you're going to confront these people who have wronged you? And I'm the kind of person, I can get a legal brief in my mind. I have my speech prepared to when I run into these people, I'm going to lay them out. Do you ever do that? I mean, do you ever think about ways to get back at people who have hurt you? Now, you know, fretting is a form of bitterness that will eat you alive. It will destroy your peace, your fruitfulness. It will destroy your worship and your prayer. Fretting and simmering and boiling can lead to an explosion, can lead to an explosion on people who did you no wrong. Somebody said this, if your wound is not healed, you will bleed on people who did not cut you. I had a relative one time, and we had a widow woman storekeeper in our community, and my relative went in there, and for no reason, this widow woman had done nothing to her, but she just unleashed a barrage of unholy anger on her. You know why? Because she was entertaining bitterness in her heart, and it spilled out over somebody that had nothing to do with it. Now, let me tell you, if your anger is not stopped, you're going to boil over on people who did you no wrong. Habitual fretting can become a way of life. Everybody gets frets on occasion, but you can't afford to indulge this. You can't afford it. You got to get rid of it. And we need to obey the commandment to fret not. Everybody with me so far?
Amen.
All right, let me give you the fret not formula. the fret not formula. Right here in Psalm chapter 37. Number one, get over your anger. Number one, get over your anger. Look in verse 8. It says, cease from, say that word out loud, and forsake, say that word out loud, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, anger is a natural human emotion that God put within us. Being upset initially is not a sin. But I'm telling you, it's a sin to respond with continuing anger. The Bible says, the Bible doesn't say don't get angry. The Bible says stop it. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. You can control your anger. You know, you might be in your house and, you know, you're having a World War IV session going on and all kinds of anger and words and mortars being launched, verbal spears, and all of a sudden, somebody knocks on the door. And lo and behold, it's Pastor Scott. And that anger, that 4 o'clock call, scowl, is immediately transformed into, oh, Pastor, praise the Lord. Come on in the house. We're getting ready to go to prayer. And you can control your anger. Let me say, you can control your anger. Well, I just can't help it. That's just my temperament. You can control your anger. The Bible says, cease from anger. Now listen, Proverbs 14 says, he that is soon angry deals foolishly. Angry people do foolish things. The Bible says, a fool uttereth all his mind. Does anybody here ever say stuff that you wish you hadn't said? And you know, your speech is the overflow of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen to this. Swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. And the person who swallows his words never asks for second helpings. If you bite your tongue on occasion, you'll be glad you did. What are you mad about this morning? What are you fretting about? What's got you upset? Who ripped you off? Who did you wrong? What professing Christian broke his contract with you? What letdown have you experienced? Listen to me. Change your focus. Change your feelings. You want to change your feelings? You're tired of those emotions? Change your focus. Change your feeling. Now listen. You've got to make a conscious decision to stop churning and meditating on those bitter and hurtful thoughts in your mind. I'm telling you, when the anger gets the best of you, the worst part of you will come out. When anger gets the best of you, the worst part of you is going to come out. And the Bible says in Ephesians, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Stop fretting. You know, entertaining anger gives place to the devil. You know, you are not responsible for the people that abuse you, lie to you, mistreat you, hurt you, betray you. You're not responsible for that, but you are responsible for how you respond to it. And the Bible says, cease from anger. You know, when anger comes in, it can start out with a toehold. It can lead to a foothold. If you don't check it, it becomes a stronghold. And at the end of the day, you're in a stranglehold. I've determined I don't want to be an angry person. I mean, I'm high strung. I can't help it. I say, but I don't want to be an angry person, Brother Scott. Well, we're doing a bathroom renovation in our home. Big mistake. And the bathtub was ordered and was going to come in August 23rd. Then it was going to come in September 3rd. And then it was postponed umpteen times and not a big deal. And then we're painting our house. We're doing some modifications. And I said, well, I'll save a few bucks. I will paint the front door entrance. I'm not a painter. God didn't call me to paint. I'm going to give painters a pass if they're alcoholics because I can see why they might be. See, I'm out here on this little step ladder, you know, painting around the door, being careful not to get it on the stonework. And all of a sudden, the paint bucket falls off the ladder. Hits the concrete porch. And the paint goes up on the siding, pours out on the concrete. I was angry. The paint bucket wound up in the front yard with paint everywhere. What little was left in the bucket. The ladder I was on wound up in the yard, and it didn't levitate of its own strength, okay? I'm disgusted. I'm angry. I'm saying some things, but I'm thinking worse things. Anybody with me on this point right here? My wife comes out. You know how they are. What's going on? What's all that paint in the front yard? But you know what? I was angry, but I didn't stay angry. So I got the goof off, cleaned it up, figured out. In the scheme of things, this isn't going to make a whole lot of difference. And you know something? If the toe hole is not checked, it becomes a foothold. If the foothold is not checked, it becomes a stronghold. And if the stronghold is not checked, you're going to be an angry fundamentalist. And angry fundamentalists don't draw anybody into the kingdom of God. Quit talking about your hurt to other people. Quit rehearsing it. Just stop it. If you want to get something out of your mind, you're going to have to get it out of your mouth. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, how do you cease from anger? Well, number one, admit, be honest and admit you're mad. Lord, I'm upset about this paint episode here. Be honest. Admit it. Don't say, God, help me not to be angry. You don't need help. You need forgiveness. Most of the time, when it's God, help me not to be mad, help me not to be angry, help me not to worry. You don't need help, you need forgiveness. Little boy was praying one time, he said, Lord, help me not to be jealous. Lord broke in and said, it's too late for help. You're already jealous. Most of the time when we're asking for help, we're praying the wrong way. You need to get honest about it. If you're mad, it's okay. Just admit it. Get honest about it. Confess it to God. And here's the way to be delivered from sin. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Say that out loud. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. He that covers his sins is not going to prosper. He that conceals, he's not going anywhere. But whoever confesses, admit it, and forsakes it, quit it, shall have mercy, forget it. You don't need to rehash your sins for 3 weeks to get penance. Half of us, we got the same theology the Catholics have got, for crying out loud. I mean, listen, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you. So when you confess your sin, you admit it, you confess it, then quit it, forsake it, and then forget it, and get on with living for God. Get on with the Macedonian call, for crying out loud. Get on with cleaning up the paint and forgetting about it. Amen. Get on with it. Just shake a leg and get on with it. Now look, put these things out of your mind and put the word of God in your mind. Staying mad is unhealthy. Ulcers, high blood pressure. I was born with high blood pressure. But staying angry makes it even worse. And it doesn't solve your problem. You don't have to stay mad. You're not responsible for the injustices that happen to you, but you are responsible for how you respond. God said, number one, cease from anger. Everybody get on this point. I'm going to have to go back and preach this over again. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Point number two on the fret not formula. Commit your way to God. Commit your way to God. Look in verse 5. Read it out loud. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Now that word commit means to take that incident and roll that incident, that burden on the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Roll your burden on the Lord and he will bring you through. How many remember in the old days when Americans would put shingles on their own homes? How many remember before there was Mexicans that we hired to do it? By the way, I hired a guy to come put a roof on my house. They brought 10 Mexicans. And they started at 8:30. They ripped the shingles off my house. They ripped the shingles off a warehouse. And by 2:30, the job was complete. But in the old days, you put a ladder up. I heard about a guy one time. He had his wife on the roof repairing the roof. And his neighbor came over and said, man, what kind of sorry outfit are you? You got your wife up on the roof. And the guy said, well, I'm holding the ladder for her when she goes up and when she comes down. Now, in the old days, if a fellow wanted to put his roof on his house, he would put a bundle of shingles on his shoulder. climb up, and they'd hand the bundle off to the fellow on the roof who would take the burden, take the bundle, put it on the pinnacle, and that's the way they transport. They rolled that burden off. And that's the best illustration I can come up with of what it means to roll your burden on the Lord. Hand your burden off to God. Now, fretting chokes out of the life of God. Shouldering burdens that you're not intended to bear will rob you of joy, sleep, energy, and usefulness. The thief comes to kill and destroy, and fretting is a thief. It's inward anger. It's an unnecessary burden. Remember in Samuel how that Saul was trying to kill David? Remember this one? Trying to kill him, for crying out loud. Saul was wrong. Saul was jealous. Saul was deceived. Saul was enraged. He threw a javelin at David, but David refused to come against the Lord's anointed. He refused to call the general manager at the residence inn. He refused to do it. Now listen, David played his harp for Saul, soothed his mind. He did right, even though he had been wrong. He rolled his burden over on the Lord. Let God settle the case, for crying out loud. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Commit your way to the Lord. Point three on the fret not formula, trust the Lord. You know, my wife, back when I was going through a hard time, and you know what she'd say to me all the time, Brother Don, you know what she'd say? Harold, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. And I'm sitting there thinking, can you give me a little assistance about how to go about this of trusting the Lord? Well, look at what it says here in verse 5. Trust also in him. Trust, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust means to put your confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God. Unbelief is confidence in something other than God. Faith is confidence in God. Put your trust in the Lord. Unbelief is confidence in anything other than God. Now, once you've when you've been wronged and you've attempted to get justice, which is all but an impossibility in today's climate, let me tell you something. You better hand your case over to the Lord and let the judge of the earth sort it out. It's no longer your responsibility to punish your offender. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Dispensing of vengeance is not in my jurisdiction. It's not my responsibility. Hand your case over to the Lord and leave it there. And stop speculating about the prosperity of the wicked. Well, these people are millionaires and man, they got everything going for them. Here I am trying to serve God. And man, I'm going through this trial and continual burden. I maybe think that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to quit overselling the benefits and telling people if you trust the Lord, you're never going to have another problem. How stupid is that? What Bible are they reading? I'm here to tell you, brother, you need to trust the Lord, not because everything's going to turn out good and you're going to be healthy and wealthy all the time, but because God is worthy of our praise and salvation is from sin and not from problems. Now listen. Hand your case over to the Lord. Now, listen, it's God's business to repay your offender. It's not yours. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That means to be still and to be silent. Just pipe down. Just go down to the creek. I know you're here in the city, which, flee over to the Rockies as often as possible. Get out of this noisy place. Amen. Be still and rest in the Lord. Get in your backyard. Do something. But stop replaying the past. Quit it. Don't be rattled. Stop rehearsing your hurt. Be still. Be calm in your mind. Rest in the Lord. There was a missionary one time trying to translate the scripture for his people. And he couldn't find a word in their language that represented the word faith. There was no equivalent word for the word faith in their native language. So here comes this national. He had came running into the house. He had traveled for a long, long distance. He was absolutely exhausted. He flopped himself into the missionary's chair, and the national said, I'm resting all my weight on this chair. I'm resting all my weight on this chair. And the missionary knew he had the word for faith. Resting all your weight on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Quit leaning on your own understanding. Rest your weight upon the Lord. And by the way, your emotions don't have to be in gear for you to do this. Now, some of us are emotional. I mean, that's just the way we are, man. And some of you are not. Some of y'all are a bunch of flatlines, like my wife. My wife is an emotional flatline. She ain't never been, she's never been depressed. What's that like? And she's never been Rocky Mountain High. She had never had that either. She's just kind of like this right here. See, some of y'all are like that. But some of us, buddy, I mean, we're in the third heaven. And when we're not in the third heaven, we're in the fifth hell. I mean, we're either way up or we're way down. But did you know something? This whole matter I'm talking about here of having faith in God has nothing to do with how you feel. It don't make a difference how you feel. And if I did what I felt like, I wouldn't be here. If I did what I felt like, I'd say some things to the general manager. But I don't have to do that. And you don't either. Disregard your feelings. So what how you feel? Choose to praise God for crying out loud. I mean, trust in the Lord. Stop leaning on your own understanding. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. It's about time. In Baptist churches, we saw some miracle working power of God because we're so hung up on information and consolation that we have very, very little faith to believe God to save the people that's in these apartment complexes around here, for crying out loud. Trust in the Lord. Rest. Have some faith in God. Believe God for the impossible. He's able to do abundantly above. Trust the Lord. Number four, fret not formula. Put away evil. Oh, don't miss this one. Put away evil. Look in verse 27. Verse 27. What does it say? Depart from evil and do what? Verse 27. What does it say? Depart from evil and do what? And do good. Depart from evil. Fretting is evil. It's not a temperamental weakness. It's evil. It's sin. So instead of doing evil, start doing good. 1 Thessalonians 5, see that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good. Don't render evil for evil. Then look at the positive alternatives in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to this. Rejoice evermore. That's a commandment. Rejoice. Get your soul happy in God. I mean, some of these stern, rigid, frigid, jammed up, locked up, miserable church members have never learned how to rejoice in the Lord. And it ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. Man, you praise God when you feel like it, or you praise God until you feel like it. Locate some songs that's going to elevate your heart and magnify God in your spirit. And don't be so rigid about all this stuff, brother. You got to figure out, listen, races of people are different. African people are different from American people. Chinese people are different from American people. And country people are different from city people. Denver people are different from everybody else. Amen. I mean, every people group is unique. They have their own little thing right here. You better learn what floats your boat and what gets your soul happy in God. And I'm just telling you, rejoice in the Lord. It's not an emotion first. It's an action. And when you determine to do that and sing some praises to God, it will impact your feelings. I'm just telling you. Pray without ceasing. That ain't got anything to do with feelings. It says pray without ceasing. You know, when God prompts you to pray, it's wonderful, isn't it? What about when God, those days when God doesn't prompt you with nothing? Or if He does, you don't feel anything. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Pray with them. Just go ahead and pray anyhow. Pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give what? In everything, watch Fox News reruns. In everything, stay stirred up about the political climate. In everything, rehearse your hurts. No, In everything, give what? Give thanks. I'm telling you, thankful people can find comfort in everything, in anything, but disgruntled people can find comfort in nothing. In everything, give thanks. I'll give you a little tip. When you get so overwhelmed with the circumstances of life and the burdens and the problems and the injustices and, oh, good night. And you're so overwhelmed that you can't, you're so preoccupied that you can't even pray. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right there? Lift your hand if you know what I'm talking about right there. So I'll give you a tip. Here's what you do. I live out in the country. By the way, living in the country, you can get away with stuff you can't get away with in the city. I'm just telling you, there's all kinds of stuff you can't get away with in the city. But out in the country, you can get away with a lot. And I live out in the country, and we have a little road from our house down to our office. And sometimes when the burdens and life is overwhelming, and I hear about another problem, I hear about another case of infidelity. I hear about another marriage splitting up. I hear about another person getting cancer. I hear about this all the time. So here's what I do sometimes when I can't pray. Because sometimes I can't pray. So I learn how to do this. In my case, get out on the little road from my house down to the office. And here's what I do. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You try that for about 10 minutes, it'll put a different spin on your attitude. In everything, give thanks. You're not thanking God because everything's good. It's not, but He's good. So just enter to His gates with what? Thanksgiving. I'm still waiting for the Baptist people to get the joy of God's salvation. If you want to get an exciting service, you got to go to a wildfire church to get in a place where they at least have the liberty and the freedom to praise Almighty God. And I ain't talking about bad doctrine, brother, but I'm telling you that God is a supremely happy God. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. And if your face looks like a book of the Lamentations, you need to get a facelift. Say amen right there. I mean, we're like Amish people, man. We're just like, we got to have our white shirts on. Notice I have mine on. And you know, we got our black ties on and just hanging in. And how you doing, brother? Well, pretty good under the circumstances. We'll get on top of the circumstances, for crying out loud. Of course you got a wake-up call at 4 o'clock. Of course you haven't slept in 3 nights. Who cares? Rejoice in the Lord and give thanks that you had some sleep, that you woke up and you have an energy drink and the power of the Holy Spirit. Say amen right there. I don't go to Starbucks if I can help it because of their Marxist position, but I was tempted and I would have went this morning if I'd had time. But anyhow, what I'm telling you, rejoice in the Lord and give some thanks to God, for crying out loud. Now, it's the replacement principle. In Ephesians, put off the old man, put on the new man, be renewed. Put on the new man created after righteousness and true holiness. Put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor. Put off the old man, put on the new one. Quit lying, start telling the truth. Quit being lazy, start working. It's put off, put on. When you take something out, you got to put something back. When you return evil for evil, you're doing the same thing your offender did to you. But I say unto you, Jesus said, love your enemies. A pastor from California called me up. He lives in Sacramento. Man, that makes Virginia look good. I'm just telling you, we're catching up. But he, you know what he said to me? He said, Harold, I'm preaching on love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. What does this mean? Depart from evil and do good. Where did we get off on the idea that we're guaranteed peace and prosperity when the whole world has suffered persecution and our culture has departed from a Christian consensus? It's not a matter of persecution coming. It's already here and it's going to get a whole lot worse. But what are we supposed to do? Bless them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that curse you. Do good unto your enemies. You say it's impossible. With the Holy Spirit, it's possible to do all things through Christ who's given himself for us. Don't fret yourself in any wise to do evil. All right, point number 5, fret not formula. Find your delight in God. find your delight in God. If you're going to get delight, that's where you're going to have to go. Now look in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, listen, friend, find your delight in God. Now you can navigate the will of God through your sanctified desires. When you're filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, what you want is what God wants. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He puts the desire, when you're walking with God, he puts the desires in your heart. And if this brother's son over in Cameroon has these sanctified desires, hallelujah. If he's filled with the Holy Spirit, God put the desires in his heart. And you can find out what to do in life by listening to your sanctified, I'm talking about your sanctified desires. God is the happiest person in the universe. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Delight, find some delight in God, for crying out loud. Quit moaning and groaning over every sorry thing. Quit grieving about the loss of our culture. Quit about it. Quit all that stuff. Find some delight in the Lord himself. Amen. This would help you now. What I'm telling you would help you. Now, delight means to find your happiness in God. Count your blessings instead of your bruises. Think about your benefits. He's loaded us with benefits. I woke up this morning, Brother Terry. I woke up. Amen. I'm not rejoicing about the 4 o'clock thing, but I'm rejoicing that I woke up. Think about your benefits. Praise God for your advantages. Instead of dwelling on your losses, thank God for what you've got left. You know that old song, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, and his grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. Glory be to God. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. That's not metaphorical. Brother, that's the word of God. Well, we'd get identified with a happy church if we did something like that. You might get identified with the Holy Ghost if you did something like that. Yeah, delight yourself in the Lord. Quit being so stove up and quit being such a killjoy, for crying out loud. Find some delight in God. And when you're walking with God in the fullness of the Spirit of God, then what you want is what God wants. Now, can I just say, delight in the goodness of God. The Lord, listen to this. I lost my place here. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance will be forever. Now, if you can't praise God for what's going on, praise God for what you've already escaped. And if you can't praise God for the current circumstance, give a hallelujah for what's going to happen. Heaven ain't going to be like Handel's Messiah, sober. It ain't going to be like that, brother. I'm just telling you, they're barely sitting on their seats, but what they're falling off and giving praise to the Lamb in the midst of the throne. It's a worship service in heaven that's going on, brother. I can't hardly wait. And I touch a revival will bring an atmosphere of heaven to our hearts, to our homes, and to our churches. Delight in the goodness of God. Find your joy in the Lord. Don't focus on the negatives all the time. Okay? There are negatives, but focus on the goodness of God. Now, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, is anybody here tired of fretting? Let's have a show of hands. Anybody tired of fretting? Okay. You want to be free of this bondage? Now, if it's your desire to get beyond fretting, then get preoccupied with the goodness of God. Find your delight in the Lord. Let the high praises of God fill your mouth. And for crying out loud, get your soul happy in God like George Mueller. Somebody wrote a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. The stuff that troubles you now won't make any difference in 5 years. That paint bucket ain't gonna make no difference. That ripoff, that Christian contractors, that ripped us off is not going to make any difference in eternity. It ain't going to make any difference. I'm just telling you. Sorrow and sadness will flee away. And if the things that's troubling us here ain't going to make any difference in eternity or 5 years from now, it shouldn't make all that much difference in the here and now. Are you with me on this point right here? Now listen, if it's not going to bother you then, don't let it obsess you and bother you now. What are you mad about? Let's have family time here this morning. What are you mad about? Who are you angry with? What has got you upset? Well, here's the answer. The fret not formula. Get over your anger. Deal with it. Don't try to hide it, conceal it, or just don't go beat the wall. Just admit it. Now deal with your anger. Number two, commit your way to God. That's an intentional, deliberate, on purpose commitment. Trust the Lord. Put your confidence in God. Quit putting your confidence in that psychology book that you've got. Quit putting your confidence in science. For what it's worth, science, medical science, was bleeding people to death 200 years ago. And some of us, quit putting your confidence in all this stuff. Put your confidence in God. Depart from evil and do good. Okay, just do good. Just try to bless somebody. If you're depressed, find somebody more depressed than you and try to bless them. If you're broke, sow some resource into somebody that's broker than you. And by the way, if you're having a self-pity party, go down to the cancer ward, the oncology ward, and just sit in the waiting room. Just sit out there. You watch them people come in, those women come in, they got no hair on their heads, weigh about 100 pounds, skin and bones. Watch those little children come in there, eat up with cancer. And I'll tell you what, you'll quit feeling sorry for yourself when you start doing good toward people that's worse off than you. I was getting a bone scan one time. I'm so ignorant, I didn't know how serious that was. I was sitting in the waiting room, and nobody was rejoicing. Nobody. They're all just kind of sober. And man, it had the atmosphere of death. And just sitting there. So here's this fellow over yonder. So I just rolled up beside him. He's a man of another race. I just rolled up beside him. I said, "Hey, brother." I said, "Hey, man, what are you in here for?" He said, "Well, I got cancer." He told me his story. I said, "Well, how about if we pray? Would that be okay?" "Oh, yeah, that would be really, really good. Prayed with that brother." You know, I've only been turned down once in my... I prayed with thousands of people. I've only been turned down once by an atheist. And I'm telling you, it will help you to do good to others when you're hurting. And you can remove yourself from your hurt and make a positive investment in somebody else. Delight in God. Delight in God. And you know what will happen? An atmosphere of peace can return to your heart, your home, and your church. Woodside Baptist Church should be the most pleasant place in Aurora. Woodside Baptist Church can be the most pleasant place, a city of refuge, an oasis in a desert of pain. And I'm telling you, when we quit fretting and we start putting on and we obey this formula right here, I'm just telling you can have the most pleasant atmosphere on earth. And it's magnetic in a disjointed, broken, divided society. Fret not because of evildoers. Don't. Been out of shape all the time because of that. Fret not because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Just quit fretting about it. And fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Quit planning retaliation. The fret not formula. How many are going to employ this formula today? Lift your hands up. Lift both hands up. Yeah. Why not? All right. Praise the Lord. There's help for us. There's help for us. Now listen to me. Some of us are easily prone to anxiety and easily prone to agitation and easily prone to all this kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, Psalm 37 is a place of refuge and deliverance. Let's talk to Jesus. Could we stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed? Could we talk to the Lord here this morning? I want you to talk to God from the bottom of your heart. If you're angry about something, if you're seething about something, if you've been fretting about something and God's talking to you, would you respond to the Lord? Altar's open if anybody wants to and feels a need to come and pray. Families that would like to come and pray, then, or just huddle up right at your seat. Whatever you need to do to implement this message here this morning is exactly what you need to do. I'm going to pray right now, and then the instruments are going to play some song, and this is going to be our opportunity to respond to God speaking to us. Lord, some of your people are groaning this morning. They're hurting. They've been hurt. And Lord, that hurt has evolved into anger. And Lord, that's going to lead to fretting if it hadn't already. And Lord, we need a deliverance from fretting and the seething. Oh God, help some. God, I pray for people right now, Lord, that's got some bad news medically. God, would you pour the peace of God into their spirits and their families? I pray for people that's having family issues. God, would you please, in mercy, Lord, pour some oil in that wound. God, would you help your people today? Father, would you deliver, oh God, from these obsessions and preoccupations with this, Lord, for problems that are happening around us, Lord. We're all concerned and we're burdened and we hate to see the loss of civility in our society and the loss of freedoms and all of this. But Lord, help us not to be so preoccupied with that that we fail to delight ourselves in you. Lord, would you help your people this morning just to call out and cry out and talk to you and apply this fret not formula. Just, Lord, to apply this. Here it is. Get over your anger. Commit your way to God. Trust the Lord. Depart from evil. Do good. Delight in God. You respond to the Lord as the instruments play.
Obey God as God has spoken to your heart. One of the comments that Brother Harold made was, when we don't deal with our issues like this, it affects our worship. I find that true in my own life. Another statement was made, if your wound is not healed, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. Aren't you glad for the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad he paid in full our sin debt on the cross of Calvary? Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad he died for us? He was buried. He rose from the dead. Aren't you glad for that? Don't you rejoice in the fact that he sent his Holy Spirit to be our comforter? We can receive comfort and help and encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad for that? The question I have is, aren't we willing to commit our ways to the Lord? Roll it over into his realm. And that's so with you. Would you do that? Just give it to the Lord. Just roll it over to his realm. The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of it. Piano will play one more stanza. The question for you also is this. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Did you know he died for your sins? Did you know that? Did you know that he paid in full your penalty, which is hell, death? Don't you know that? Are you aware of the fact that you'll die and spend eternity in hell without Christ? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way you can have a relationship with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. You want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You can ask him to come into your heart and life right where you are. Ask him. Ask him in. Ask him to be your Lord, your Master and Savior. Ask him to forgive all your sins. Ask him to help you to live for him forever. You say, that's my desire. You come. You come. Take one of our pastors by the hand. Let somebody pray with you. God has spoken to your heart. Father, we are grateful for what we've heard today. Lord, I needed this. Lord, there's so much going on, so much happening in our neighborhoods, in our country. And I pray, God, that I would learn to roll them over, commit these to you, and just rejoice in you. You're a happy God. You're a joyful God. I know you hate sin. I know you hate and you will judge sin. But that's your job. And I pray, God, that I would learn just to trust you, to lean on you. Help us as a body. Lord, when people come into Woodside, they would know here's a people who are rejoicing in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.